Good morning, everybody. Hope January has gotten off to a good enough start for you to look forward to the rest of it. This morning, have your Bible open, please, to Acts chapter 2. There's a song in our book which has a first stanza which is worded this way, and it's about the church. We're called to be God's people, showing by our lives His grace, one in heart and one in spirit, sign of hope for all the race. Let us show how He has changed us and remade us as His own. Let us share our life together as we shall around the throne. That goes with what Charles said a few moments ago as we observed the supper. That is a high and a noble calling, a scriptural one as well. The question is, how do we go about doing that? How can a group of us who are just regular people, very much people, how do we fulfill that calling that we have so as to indicate hope for all the race? I think one thing that'll help us is to look to people who have done it. They're who we are meant to be. They're who we want to be. Last week when we finished up, we were talking about what it is to imitate Jesus. So what I'm talking about now is what if we imitate people who were imitating Jesus. That will at least be a step in the right direction. So back before there were problems to mar it, before there were pressures to hurt it, before there were persons to fail it, right at the beginning of the Lord's church, the people He had bought to be His own with His own giving of Himself, before all of that, before all the things that happened in life, there was this that we read about here at the end of Acts 2. It's a familiar passage. I'd like to invite you to stand with me as we read it together. And let's see if we can let it be written on our hearts and afresh today. Acts 2, I'm going to begin at verse 37. When it's just been announced that Jesus has been made both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" But Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing to the needs of all, and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple and together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to them, to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. Be seated, please. No matter what kind of picture people have of life in the church, everybody finds something attractive about the picture of the group of people that we've just read about on the day of Pentecost as the gospel had been preached to them for the first time. Let me just choose some phrases from this to try to guide us, our thoughts through this passage in a particular way this morning. Let's start with those who gladly received His Word, those who welcomed His Word. What His Word is has already been laid out in verses 22 through 36 of this text. His message, I think we can summarize with these three landmarks. First, His message was that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is verse 21. He's been quoting from the Old Testament. He says, this is the day when this is possible for everybody. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord to rescue them will be rescued by Him. And then at verse 39, He has said that this promise is for everyone the Lord calls to Himself. So sort of fix those two things as the bookmarks here. People who call on the name of the Lord, people whom the Lord calls to Himself, they go together and they'll be saved, and this promise is for everyone. And then verse 36, this is the crucial thing. What's just been announced is that Jesus is Lord. He has been made both the Lord and their Christ, their Messiah. And so this idea is that calling on the name of the Lord and being called to the Lord boils down to conviction, relation, to Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, what this text says is that they gladly received that. How did they receive it? Well, first, they were cut to the heart by it. It mattered to them. It hit them hard. They've crucified the Lord and their own Christ, the one who embodied all of their hopes that they've spent all of their lives looking forward to, came. And they asked the Romans to crucify Him. But God raised Him up, and now He's seated at the right hand. What are they to do? I was reading the other day an old novel, and it has a character in it who's an old boy who's a cavalry officer or a soldier back in the days of Red Cloud's War in the 1860s, about that time. And the old boy talks about something that he's done. He's an Irishman, he says, and God forgive us. And then it's in parentheses, but I don't think He will. I kind of wonder if these people are not thinking that here. God forgive us, but we're not sure He will. And what Peter announces to them is that He will. They're given an answer. It has two instructions and two promises. It says repent, which means to change your mind about all of this, a whole different intellectual point of reference, a way of looking at the world and especially at Christ, and then be baptized in His name, meaning based on His authority, because of His work, into His account, as allegiance to Him, be baptized in His name. And then there are two promises conditioned on this. If you do this, your sins will be forgiven based on the work of Christ, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to help you bear the fruit in your life God wants you to bear. And these people receive that by doing what they're called on to do without any hesitation. Verse 41, 3,000 of them that day were baptized based on the word that they had received. And when they've done this, what they've done is they've called on the name of the Lord. They've turned to Him, they have relied on His work and united themselves with it. And if you think about this, you see the sort of the the nature of salvation here. It is a situation where the Lord acts and we're called on or invited to respond to it. He'll save us if we'll let Him. They saved themselves in verse 40 in the sense of letting Him save them. They responded to the work that He's done for them. This is all in response to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we could say that they are now rooted in Jesus. Thanks to Kay for giving us a picture to visualize this. They're rooted now in Jesus. Their entire hope is now based in the name of Christ and what He has done for them. So look at the next phrase that stands out to me here. Now then, all who believed were together. This is said twice in our reading, verse 44 and then again in verse 46, there's a form of it. So what's taken place here is that those who've received His word now receive each other. There were 120 who've been believing. We found that out in chapter 1, verse 15. They've been loyal to the Lord. And now they accept, on one day, another 3,000 who now believe. That'd be quite an adjustment, wouldn't it? I wonder if we could make an adjustment. These loyal friends of Jesus who've been somewhere by themselves now associate with those who've had Jesus crucified. People from different places with different dialects now align as a family in allegiance to one Lord, Jesus. One writer that I noticed in working on this observed, this here is the most miraculous thing in this whole chapter of miracles. That these people from all over in this situation now then can all be together. I've told you about the freshman second baseman for the Arkansas team last year. I heard an interview at the end of their season. The young fella said, "We did the hardest thing a team can do. We became a team." Well, that's what these people are doing. Look at how their fellowship or their joint participation in the Lord is described here. They were together and had all things common. Don't let the all things common cause you to just read over the together part of this. That's the wonder of it. They figured out a way to help each other because they attended temple together. They broke bread in their homes together. They had favor with all the people around too because of their being together. So we might say they are welcoming. The Lord gives them to each other, and then they identify with and include and involve each other and participate not only in the Lord, but in each other's lives, in each other's hearts, in each other's affections. So they have received His word, and now they are together, and then the passage says they devoted themselves to certain things. Verse 42, and I think also in verse 45, you can see aspects of their devotion here. So what goes on among them is tangible, visible expressions of loyalty to Christ that please God and that help each other and that anybody can help with in one way or another. Toward the Lord, there are what we might call the services. Verse 42, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, which did involve perhaps giving, then the breaking of bread, which the definite article would refer to the Lord's Supper in this collection of statements, and then the prayers. These are things, the ways in which they are engaging in loyal service to the Lord. Toward each other, there is help as anyone had need. And you can see this in verse 45. It was sacrificial, it was willing and voluntary, it was dependable. And then all those around develop a sense of awe. Every soul has a fear of God because of what they see these people doing in their lives with each other before the Lord. How this unfolds is interesting as well. It all happens in a continual way, steadfastly and not just momentarily. It involves some sort of normative matters of faith and not just novelties or things that happen to happen, and it involves an unselfish and active manner and not something that some people do while others sit and let it be done. So we could summarize it this way. They are serving. They're practicing the Spirit of their Lord. All of them in one way or another to the Lord, with each other, and with the community around. And then notice this happens day by day. Again, we notice this both in verses 46 and 47, this phrase here. It's a process that is being described by Luke, which is gradual. It doesn't happen all at once, even if there are a bunch of people added all at once. There's a process that was started and goes on. Here's the process. Those who've heard and obeyed the gospel are now taught to obey the Lord and everything else. The apostles are fulfilling their commission. Those who had been cut to the heart and were glad to receive are now glad and generous hearts developing. Verse 46. Those who had been few and out of favor gradually become many and in favor. That's a process that there's a word for it. Let me share it with you in just a minute. But let me show you how the progress is apparent in this passage here. It's intellectual progress. They develop a deeper understanding of what their Lord wants them to do. The apostles continue to teach them. So personally, they grow in understanding. Physically, as a group, they're a stronger group. Verse 41 has people added. Then verse 47, people added. They're a bigger presence in that way. Spiritually speaking, they are increasingly praising God. Verse 47, they are giving thanks to Him. They're worshiping Him. And socially, they're increasing in favor with people. Verse 47 again. And another way of saying that is they increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. If you were with us recently, you remember we tried to see that kind of progress in Jesus' life first. So we can say it this way. They are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next phrase, and the last one, you've been waiting for that, haven't you? That I want you to see here is, and the Lord, verse 47, and the Lord did certain things. The Lord added at the same time He saved, and what He added to was His own people. The Lord added because the Lord saved His people. The adding and the saving is done by the Lord, who's the only one who can do either of those two things. And they are, after all, once they are saved and added, His people. So how else could it be? He added them in the first place, and he added these who are present in the first place, and then He added to them. Verse 41, 3,000. Verse 47, every day, those who were being saved. Those who were being saved were those He called to Himself, who called on His name. He's the focus in both cases, not just they. Their number is His church. Really, church comes up in chapter 8, verse 1, for the first time. But it's these people that have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Acts 20 and verse 28 speaks of the church of the Lord, which He purchased with His own blood. So what we can see, if we think about it, is it's all in Jesus. This all happens by Him, through Him, because of Him. None of it is by their will or the people's will here or through their own ingenuity or because of their own exceptionalism. None of it happened because of how smart, talented, gifted, or worthy the people were. What they are is people the Lord saved and the Lord added and the Lord rules. So in what we take from this doing of the Lord among this group of people at the beginning, that's where we'll end up being true to our own roots. Where we're like these people, we're being true to our own roots. This is how the church started. There are things about this where people are in love with the Lord who loved them first that are appropriately goals and aims and intentions for our lives as a congregation now. Now think about this for a minute. Over these last few weeks, we've introduced you to the phrase that we hope that you're learning and so that you can repeat and so that it comes to your mind. Our vision is just a simple way of saying we want to be like the people in this passage. I hope you notice that between the rooted in Jesus that Justin started us with 6 weeks ago and the true to our roots that we just read about this morning, I hope you notice that in between comes welcoming, serving, and growing in Jesus. Read this passage again. Pray over it this week. Think your way through it from this angle. And ask God to help us free up some of the clutter and stuff in our lives and just be like this. We want to make the same response to the same Lord. So we have to ask ourselves, each one of us, have we and are we? Were we people who repented and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins? And then are we walking in step with the Spirit which He gave us at that time? Everybody can. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. If that's you this morning, we'd love to be of help to you if we can. If you'll let us know by coming while we stand and sing together.